turn to 1 Samuel 3.
1 Samuel 3, it's, you know, maybe the first eighth of your Bible, I don't know. Look in your table of contents to find it. It's not a book that we often hear sermons from, at least I haven't in my own life, and I hope that it's helping you get a better grasp on the larger history of God's work in the world. Of course, 1 Samuel is, and 2 Samuel concern characters like Samuel, but more important than Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel is about the rise of David the king and the rise of the kingship in Israel. Samuel plays an important part in that. Let me read for us now from a lengthy chapter, so you will have to exercise some self-discipline in listening, but it will be worth it. It will be worth it because this, my friends, is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to Yahweh, or the Lord, in the presence of Eli. Eli was the high priest. And the word of Yahweh was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of Yahweh, where the ark of God was. Now, Eli and Samuel are sleeping. I hope you're not sleeping. Okay, don't start to do that. Then Yahweh called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And Yahweh called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now, Samuel did not yet know Yahweh, and the word of Yahweh had not yet been revealed to him. And Yahweh called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that Yahweh was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Yahweh, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And Yahweh came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then Yahweh said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of Yahweh. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is Yahweh. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, that's from the north to the south, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of Yahweh. And Yahweh appeared again at Shiloh, for Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of Yahweh. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we are here coming from many different places in life. This past week, all of us went through different things, different high points, different low points. We pray that this word, by the working of your Holy Spirit, you in all wisdom would answer to our hearts, in our needs, in our lives, that we might become something more, that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, bearing fruit for your name. We cannot do this apart from you, Jesus, but with you, nothing is impossible. Amen. Today, I just want to take us actually a bit before this story and go back and consider Samuel's mama. You guys remember her, right? Hannah? I want to think about her a bit. I want to think about that woman, Peninnah. Maybe you know the story. If you were here, you know it. But I'll rehash a little bit. And then I want to come back to Samuel and Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, because I think we need to see the larger whole, to get what's going on here, to see what kind of God we have, to see that God is a king of justice and of hope, and to see how in history, the specifics of history, God is a God of justice and hope. We begin with Hannah. You remember Hannah? She was married to Elkanah. Elkanah was also married to Peninnah. Peninnah was sure she had good qualities, but she was an awful woman. She was at least awful to Hannah. Peninnah had all kinds of children, and Hannah had none. And so Peninnah would abuse her spiritually, emotionally, put her down. Hannah was abused and Hannah was oppressed by Peninnah. And what did Hannah do? Hannah went to God in prayer. Nevertheless, in the midst of all that, she went to God in prayer. She prayed, God, deliver me from this oppression. Deliver me from this abuse. Bring justice. She went to him in hope. And how did God answer? He gave her a baby. Little tiny Samuel. Can you see her now? Smiling, holding Samuel. Can you see Peninnah walking away, like angry that she now has nothing that she can abuse Hannah about anymore? Upset that the Lord has taken away her opportunity to abuse others and oppress. You see, God, the Lord, is a God of justice. He brought justice in that situation. He took away the power of the abuser. He took away the power of the oppressor against a woman maybe no one really noticed that much in Israel, but God knew. And God is a God of hope. God is a God not only of hope, but who fulfills, who answers the prayers of those who hope in him. He is a God. He is a king of justice and of hope. And later on we see the baby that was in Hannah's arms, after he's weaned, he's brought to the temple, and he is dedicated to temple service through a special Nazirite vow, it's unusual. Just as his birth was unusual, it's unique, really, how he gets to serve in the temple. This little tiny boy wearing a new ephod every year as his mommy sews it for him and brings it to him for his temple service. But he's growing up in a bad foster home. You know that, right? I don't think Hannah knew that. But his foster home had Eli, and Eli was a complex character, you know? Seems like he had some really good qualities, but some pretty bad qualities as well. And one of them was that he was letting his sons just run rampant in the temple and do whatever they wanted to the women, to the sacrifices, blaspheming God, not teaching God's word to the people. It was like they were putting a brick wall between God and the people. The whole purpose of the priest was to be a mediator between the people and God, that the knowledge of God might go forth, the people might be blessed in that, and that the people in the midst of a cursed world might be a source of blessing to the nations around them. But in this family, it was all wrong. All wrong. You can see the sons with X's in their eyes as they stand and step upon the people of God, abuse and oppress them. In our world today, the world oppressor and oppressed gets thrown around a lot. And it's not like that doesn't exist. I don't agree with the philosophies of this age. Critical race theory. But there are such things as oppressors and oppressed. Now, these people were oppressed. And the worst form of oppression is, it's not racism. The worst form of oppression is not being on the receiving end of fraud or identity theft. And these are awful, awful, awful things. Don't get me wrong. But the worst form of oppression is spiritual oppression. When you cut people off from the very life giver himself and give people over to death, effectively. God is the source of life. And these sons were cutting people off as best they could from the source of life himself, Yahweh. And meanwhile, Eli, Samuel's stepdad, he's got his hands over his eyes, like the monkey, you know, hands over his ears, and only occasionally opens his mouth with a mild enough rebuke because his kids don't stop. The people continue to be oppressed, yet Samuel grows, gets older, continues to be faithful, watching the people of God be oppressed. But God is a God of justice and hope. See, when we get to this chapter here, verse 1 of chapter 3, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. Nevertheless, there is something so special about this boy. He is still, in whatever ways that he was designated to minister to the Lord in the temple, he was doing it. He was faithful. But there is a form of judgment upon God's people. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. You see, the word of the Lord, the very way we can know about God, gain access again to the source of life that our sin had severed, it was rare. Not only because Eli and his sons weren't teaching the word they already had accurately, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, but also because God wasn't even granting the prophet to come in and speak. It was only very rare that the prophet would come in and speak a word of justice. At that time, Eli, his eyesight had begun to grow dim. Yes, he was an old guy. He wasn't seeing quite right, but this has more significance than that. Eli, the high priest, spiritually blind. But there is hope. There is light. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Can you see it? The lamp of God burning in the temple, just only so much, just barely flickering. You see the gold on the ark next to it, kind of catching the flickers of the lamp just a little bit. There's still some light. There's still some hope for the knowledge of God. And sleeping there in the midst of its little Samuel. I mean, he's a young man now. Here's where there's hope. Not because of Samuel, but because of how God will use him. The God of justice and hope. And so then we have this wonderful historical story of how God begins to call Samuel, and Samuel keeps, you know, he's sleeping. Do you guys like to get up three times when you're sleeping? Like, I don't, okay? My kid calls me, Daddy, Daddy. I'm like, I hope she just falls back to sleep. Eli bounces right up. Did you call me? He's available. He's faithful. He's like his mommy. You know? A faithful woman. She's this faithful little boy. Young man. Here I am. And eventually Eli does have the spiritual perception enough to say, maybe this is God. You are in the temple after all. But what we see is that God is raising up a faithful young man to do an important and even difficult service. Because when he does say to God, here I am, God gives him a word. He makes him a prophet in giving him his word. A prophet is God's mouth. God reveals himself. He speaks. He gives communication. We cannot know God unless God makes himself known to us. And he speaks. And he gives his word to his prophet, and the prophet is to faithfully speak that word. But this word isn't exactly a word he relishes to speak. It is a word of judgment. It is a word, yet, of justice. He's told a very severe form of judgment is going to fall upon Eli's house for oppressing the people spiritually. And Eli is a faithful prophet, and although I'm sure he didn't sleep well after that for the rest of the night, when Eli said, just tell me the truth, Samuel was faithful and he told him the truth. And that's what a prophet does. That the prophet, in this case Samuel, he's telling him, when your sons die, when all this happens, you need to understand something. It's not just coincidence, not bad luck, not fate. It is the work of Yahweh the King, who is a king of justice. And you have done unjustly. And so this will end. And because it will end, there is hope for the people of God. To have the kind of life and the kind of knowledge of God, God always intended for them. And there is therefore hope for the world, because now that the evil regime has been brought down, others can be raised up. And the knowledge of God can go forth. This is what Samuel does. He speaks that word effectively, that God is a God of justice and of hope. And I guess I want to tell you one more story about a young lady. Poor, unable to have children, probably wasn't noticed much by the people around her. And she had a very unique birth. She was a virgin. Her name was Mary. And she lived in a context of oppression as well. She lived in a nation of Jewish people, the people of God, Israel. But they were no longer ruling in the land. Instead, the Romans were ruling. And the Romans indeed were oppressing them. Financially, for example, through the tax collection system, making it impossible to live what we might call a life of something of ease and enjoyment. But it wasn't just the Romans. On the other side of her, you see the Pharisees, you see the Sadducees. Much like Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, who were spiritually oppressing the people, spiritually oppressing Mary, but Maybe in some traditions we have an understanding of Mary where she was holy and pure, without sin. Sadly, this is not the case. Mary, like all of us, was oppressing herself. She had contracted the heart disease of sin from her father Adam, like all of us. And there was self-oppression. And she needed to be delivered from all of it, and God gave her a baby. Do you see her holding the baby, smiling? And she sang a song. It sounds so much like Hannah's song in Luke chapter 2. God is the God of justice and hope. And that little boy grew up, and that little boy became a man. And that little boy who became a man became a prophet. Yes, he became a priest. Yes, he became a king. But he became a prophet. And this is what he told the people. And this is what he continues to speak today. God is a God of justice and hope. Oh yes, God is a God of justice. Jesus, the meek and mild lamb, is yet a lion. And although they would capture him and crucify him, before they could ever do that, he spoke to those spiritual oppressors, the leaders of Israel in his day, and he said, Jerusalem will fall, and not a single stone of this city will be left one upon another. Your injustice will be brought to an end. And after Christ had died and been raised again, Nero and Domitian and Caligula, these emperors who sought to stamp out Christianity by lighting Christians aflame, tried to stamp out the light of God by lighting Christians on fire, in Nero's case, Christ, the ruler over all, brought Rome into the grave. God is a God of justice. It will come to an end. Not on Jesus' watch. And my sin, and your sin, Christian, Jesus the prophet speaks. And he says, this evil regime that has been ruining your life, and you're not even aware of it sometimes, it's coming to an end. The old man and the old woman will die. A curse is upon his house, and he will not rise again forever. Jesus the prophet speaks truth about your life. You think, I can never beat this. I will never be able to stop this. Jesus Christ, the prophet speaks and says, oh, yes, you will. Because God is a God of justice. And he will put an end to it in your life. Because I have died for you. And when I died, sin died. Adam died. Satan's final defeat has already been enacted, and death died too. And so that part of you that is against you, the prophet's word is sure. It's done. It's done. Yes, you're going through some final things, but my friend, it's passing away. It's done. But he's also a prophet of hope. And I guess the two go together, don't they? Because Jesus is alive on the third day. And he declares to the world that it's not just the struggle with sin that's going to die, but that it is a new life of righteousness that is beginning to take place and will fully take place. The prophet speaks the word of God, and the word of God is true. To you who trust in Jesus Christ, know this. Not only is the evil regime over, The King of Kings is on his throne, and his rule and reign is forever. And that rule and that reign is righteousness. And it is a rule and a reign that will happen in you and through you for the blessing of you, for the blessing of your family and your friends and your children, your co-workers, the life of the world. The prophet has arisen and he's spoken. Yahweh is a God of justice and of hope for you. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, it's so easy to want to put our ultimate hopes in so many for justice and for hope. We thank you for police officers. We thank you for good judges and justices. We thank you, God, for more money in our pockets to give us hope for paying the bills and so on. But God, keep us from putting our ultimate hope in these things. Let us hear the word of the prophet. Let us hear your word in the scriptures. Let us set our hope upon you that you will and are and have brought perfect justice and perfect hope through Christ's death and resurrection and the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Change us, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.